Dance of the Clowns, played by the Edison Symphony Orchestra.
Could you resist a tip passed on by Jigsaw Jones? Well, I couldn't. Jigsaw is social media manager for Charlottesville's Live Arts, and he emailed me a little while ago about 20-something theater person Sarah Holdren, who's the director of the show He Who Gets Slapped, which runs at Live Arts through June 9th. He Who Gets Slapped takes place in a circus, hence the Dance of the Clowns music playing as I talk. Sarah, who's already done a lot of writing, directing, acting, and designing for the theater, both here and overseas, is just about to enter the Yale School of Drama's MFA program, which this year had over 1,300 applicants. Sarah's one of three students selected to focus on directing.
I'd also love to keep acting as long as people will will have me. But I really like to do all of it. I love the sort of collaborative nature of it. I've been really interested in a lot of different arts. I mean, as a kid, I used to write short stories and do painting. And I think what drew me to drama was sort of the combination of it all and the fact it's kind of visual art and literary art combined, and then also combined with people, with the sort of living element. I tend to be really interested in actually a sort of things that on the outside I think might seem kind of disparate, because on the one hand I love theater and think of theater as being, you know, these great works that people might have heard of that are very established. I love Shakespeare, I love Chekhov, so those have a kind of cachet already and are kind of part of the canon, and that can be seen in a good or a bad way, you know, so that it attracts some people to them, but it also makes them seem kind of stuffy to others. So on the one hand, I do think of the theater that I like to do as telling these really fabulous old stories that have survived so long that I feel really strongly about. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, or seemingly opposite, I'm also really interested in more physical, more experimental, sort of devised forms of theater. That's where you get into, you know, the world of sort of shows that are completely made up out of nothing, that maybe just start with a bunch of people moving around a room and are still about storytelling, but are much more abstract, much more physical. I actually am really interested in combining those two things. I really like the idea of applying these sort of newer, more experimental techniques to working on these established, more canonical texts.
Sarah Holdren's been attached to Live Arts for the last couple of years, and she's spent a long, long time happily messing around with He Who Gets Slapped, which is a rather obscure turn-of-the-last-century Russian play.
He Who Gets Slapped was written in 1914 by Leonid Andreyev. He's such an interesting writer because he's right in the middle of that tumult, and he has a very tempestuous personal life as well. And, I mean, from what I understand, he kind of was a part of this sort of revolutionary group of writers that included people like Gorky, but then kind of drew back from it and rejected it and moved to Finland and, you know, kind of had this reaction. Not that he was in support of the Tsar, but he was also very much not in support of how the revolutionaries were approaching it. So he sort of washed his hands of the whole thing. You
All right,
know?
And moved to Finland.
Yeah, and was very unpopular as a result. And this is the last play he finished. And it's a very, very personal piece. But being this, you know, this play in translation from Russia in 1914, you know, when I looked at this older translation, it's a little bit stilted to read at first. But I was really interested in sort of making my own adaptation of it and in doing things that were extra textual to the adaptation.
Now, when making your own adaptation, you were talking about stilted language. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about sort of a translation of the translation?
Sort of, yeah. Well, what ended up happening is that I used predominantly a translation by Gregory Zilborg, which is a very old translation, and one that I think is like a little bit more literal. But then I also looked at other translations, two others by a guy named F.D. Reeve and a guy named Andrew McAndrew. But I also had the invaluable help of my dramaturg who was working on the show, which I don't know if I should explain what a
you
dramaturg
should.
Is. Yeah, a dramaturg plays a role on a production where sort of all of the historical and contextual and literary research that applies to the play and that can elucidate the text person does. And they can really bring like a lot of really useful outside contextual information to the piece. And my dramaturg for this piece is a really amazing person named Kat Thompson, who is a Slavic languages PhD at UVA. So she speaks fluent Russian, and she found an original Russian
wow.
text. So she was able to really connect me to that as well, because I don't speak Russian. So she had some really interesting insights where she said, you know, none of these translations really get what I think this phrase means. So she was really able to let me have sort of a detailed picture of the Russian as I was working on it as well. And really what I did is kind of take mostly the Szilborg and a lot of Kat's feedback and the other two translations as well, and sort of basically lay them all out on a table and look at them in columns and kind of write my own as I was looking at them. So a lot of the language in this particular production, much of it might be kind of similar to the mostly to the Szilborg, because I actually really like that one, even though it's the oldest, but hopefully a little bit more alive, a little bit better paced. And I did make a couple of elisions here and there.
Well, let me ask you this. Why'd you pick this play?
Yeah, well, I've actually been in love with this play for a really long time. I came upon it, I think I was in my freshman year of college, and I was with this theater company called Red Umbrella that I had founded with two women. I think I was even in my senior year of high school. It was this crazy thing where we were all friends and we had all worked over at American Shakespeare Center mm-hmm. in Stanton. It was like multi-generational. I was 18. One of the women was 29 and the other was 39. So,
and
you know,
who were the other women?
Leslie Larson and Colleen Sullivan. And Colleen discovered that show. It just in this little sort of, you know, dusty paperback anthology. And we all sat around on her living room floor reading it. And it just sort of stayed with all of us very strongly. And I knew that I really wanted to do it someday in some capacity. One of the reasons I love it so much is because I think it's such a good story. I am a sucker for stories. I am not a, I mean, I love
Me
narrative.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's very fashionable in theater these days to sort of, you know, not make that the focus. And I love stories.
I remember doing theater in the 60s and 70s where I had not a clue of what,
yeah.
what the story was.
And it's not that, I mean, I don't necessarily think that that's bad or
yes.
wrong, but I just, you know, I love a good story, even if it's told, you know, strangely or abstractly.
Yes.
But so the story is that it's set in a circus, sort of vaguely around the turn of the century, and a man, a stranger, walks into this circus one day and refuses to give his identity and asks to be made into a clown. And all of the performers and the manager, you know, sort of think he's either drunk or maybe a little bit crazy, but through these, you know, a couple different turns of events, they give him a chance and they take him on and they say, all right, you can be a clown. But the character that he chooses is this persona, he who gets slapped, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's sort of the brunt of all of the jokes, the straight man, the one who gets all the pies in the face.
And he chooses that.
And he chooses it. Which is a moment where, you know, you sort of get a little bit of insight into this character who is incredibly mysterious, who's refused to, you know, give you any background on himself. And once he becomes a clown in this circus, his mysterious past unfolds a bit and you get to see a little bit of, well, more than a little bit of what drove him to the circus, who he really is, why he chose, you know, this kind of strange masochistic persona as a clown. Now there's some sad things known to men, but ain't too bad sad a thing, the tears of a clown.
What in you was so attracted to this play over years?
Yeah, it's just so, it's such a beautiful, strange piece. It's very heightened, but not in a way that makes...
Heightened?
It's incredibly theatrical. There are lion tamers, there are con artists, there are bareback riders, there are, you know, juggling musical clowns. Like, it sort of doesn't... it's not embarrassed to be this very big piece in terms of, you know, like the kind of world of theatricality it creates. It's really colorful. It's really vibrant. But it's also, the more you look into Andreev, it has these very philosophical, very personal and disturbing undertones at play as well, especially with the character of He. I think what's so wonderful about it to me is that it's a huge world that's created with characters that are at once very recognizable, but also on the flip side of that, you know, could also be taken as symbols or as these kind of archetypal things. That
you love this play.
I do.
I can see it in your face.
Yeah. It's a weird play. I fully admit. I mean, like, you know, it was so funny because our my stage manager, his mother was asking if she should come see it. And she said, well, is it weird? I don't want to see a weird play. You know, I was like, well,
so what'd you say?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know what a normal play is, so, you know. I am from Charlottesville. I went to high school at Western Albemarle. I went away to Yale. I graduated in 08. And honestly, I mean, I came back here for a little while because, particularly where I went to school, so many people sort of filter straight into New York. And I was tempted by that. But at the same time, I didn't want, for one thing, I don't consider myself purely an actor. So I didn't want to sort of try and do the whole kind of waiting tables,
an auditioning thing.
Because what I really want to do is be a part of collaborative theater making, where the company I dream of is a sort of multidisciplinary company where maybe sometimes I direct and sometimes I act, and there are other people who shift roles as well, you know. You know, I could tell that that wasn't going to be, you know, if you go to New York, you're going to rent a closet and like, you know, work a day job and sort of scrape to do things individually. And I was much more interested in kind of stepping back for a minute and being able to come somewhere where I could have more choice and more control over the projects that I wanted to do. I think what drew me back here is that it's, now there's a huge concentration of theater for the size of the area. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've done stuff at Live Arts. I've done work at Four County Players, at the Hamner, at Play On. I mean, I think almost every community theater in the area now, I've worked on a project there, which is really fascinating. And in terms of not just the art side of it, but like the dealing with people side of it, I mean, I've learned a lot. And I've also
about
sort of, you know, about the way these organizations are run, both the ups and the downs of it. I mean, I hope one day to have a theater company of my own, probably not the same structure as a lot of these, but it's been really fascinating to watch the arts management side of it, as well as the creative side. And I feel really lucky that I've gotten to work in a theater for so long here. I mean, when I came back to town from college, I had directed some shows and I'd acted, but now I can use a table saw, use a chop saw, build a flat,
yes,
hang a light. You know, like, I mean, there's a huge amount of practical.
You've worked in theater.
Yes, skill that I didn't acquire at college that I got, you know, by working backstage here. I guess about a year ago, I felt like I was ready to do the kind of next step, which for me is really, okay, now I've been, you know, kind of directing in this one area, but I'd love to learn more about, you know, what it means to direct on different stages in different places with, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, when I go there, the Yale School of Drama, there are three of us in my class, me from Charlottesville, you know, and then a man from, I think it's Romania, you know, who's directed like in these sort of national Romanian theaters, and this woman from San Francisco who's done a ton of really experimental kind of, you know, socially based theater. And I think I'm ready for that. You know, like I think I'm ready to move to a world where there are these very, very different experiences.
We'll find a link to Live Arts as well as to Sarah Holdren's personal portfolio on the Spark page at WMRA.org.